أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي يا على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن ربي زدني علما ربي زدني علما ربي زدني علما ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير بك نستعين يا فتاح يا عليم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا My most respected علماء الكرام Respected elders and our dear brothers and young friends, Alhamdulillah, with the infinite grace and fadl and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have recently emerged from a very beautiful and blessed month of Ramadan, Ramadan al-Mubarak. We are now approaching the end of the third week after the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Ramadan true. And the true blessing of Ramadan is for a person to have achieved and to have acquired the purpose of Ramadan al-Mubarak. And the purpose of Ramadan is in essence the purpose of the life of a mu'min and a believer. And what is this purpose? This purpose is to acquire the profound quality and attribute of taqwa, of Allah consciousness, and of all the disciplines that are the attributes of taqwa and Allah consciousness. So therefore we find that the pious of this ummah, after the month of Ramadan, they would spend the period post-Ramadan in two ways. One would be a process whereby they would be profusely grateful to Allah Ta'ala for the opportunity to enjoy the month of Ramadan. This is a very important aspect and fundamental in the development of our spirituality. And that is the aspect of gratitude and shukr, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala granted us life, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala granted us health, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala granted us tawfiq and ability and guidance. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And there is no tawfiq, there is no ability. We really have nothing within us and in us if it is not for the fadl, the grace and mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Again, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا. Allah makes it very clear to us in the Quran Al-Kareem that it is Allah's sheer mercy, His fadl and His grace, His rahmah upon us, that Allah Ta'ala gave us the tawfiq, the ability and the guidance to do whatever we had done in the month of Ramadan. And for this, it should invoke within us a great and deep sense of gratitude and shukr to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Otherwise, if a person is not grateful, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala protect us and save us from nashukri and from ingratitude. If a person is not grateful, then it can turn out that a person can become ungrateful. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala protect us from this evil quality of ungratefulness and nashukri. That I wasn't able to do this, I didn't do this, I could not do this, etc. So this was one reflection that the pious sages of the ummah used to engage in the aftermath of the month of Ramadan. And the other important aspect and facet was the aspect of regret and remorse and seeking the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala for the shortcomings, for the inattentiveness, for the lack of attention and application. And the reality is, no matter how much a person strove, a person could have strove to the maximum. That is why a person makes shukr to Allah Ta'ala and is grateful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for the ability to strive and for what he had tried. Because once again, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And there is no ability, there is no tawfiq except from the side of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. However, within all of that, there is the aspect of deficiency, of weakness, of lack of good intention, of lack of attentiveness. And for this, this is why we seek the forgiveness from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The pious people, my dear friends, we have heard from the mashayikh and the scholars and our elders that they used to do the highest levels of ibadah. Great, great ibadah they used to do. But after doing all of that, they would still find the need to make istighfar and to seek forgiveness for the deficiencies in those ibadah. Our condition is such that we do not even acquire or do a fraction of what they used to do. Yet at times we do not find the need to make istighfar and to seek forgiveness over our weakness and our lack of attention, our lack of application. So therefore, these two aspects are fundamental and important, that we should firstly immerse ourselves in gratitude and shukr to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And with that, we will attain Allah Ta'ala's grand pleasure. Allah Ta'ala says again in the Quran, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. And the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is the greatest thing a person can achieve. And with that, we will attain Allah's grand pleasure, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will increase us in our steadfastness, in our ability to continue with these good deeds. And together with that, we do not attribute anything to ourselves. Nothing has come from our side. Oh Allah, it is the tawfiq and the guidance that you have blessed us with and granted us with that we are attributing everything to. And inshallah, in this way, we will then be able to proceed from Ramadan with a positive approach, with a lot of hope and a lot of steadfastness. Then the other aspect that the pious used to focus upon in the aftermath of Ramadan, some have said that they should divide it into two phases. One is the six months after Ramadan, where a lot of gratitude used to be expressed a lot of tawbah and istighfar used to be made. And then in the next 6 months, in the approach of the next Ramadan, they would then begin to express an eagerness for seeing the Ramadan to come. And that would be coupled also with a lot of dua and a state of preparation and preparedness and a state of preparation and preparedness for the next month of Ramadan. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has alluded to this, the different phases of the life of a believer and a mu'min. The first phase of reformation, of purifier and a mu'min, is the 5 daily salah, which is what? The as-salawatul khams. Salawatul khams, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, wal-jumu'ah ila al-jumu'ah. The next phase of development is from one jumu'ah to the next jumu'ah. And the third phase is wa Ramadan ila Ramadan, from one Ramadan to the next. And all of this serves a very high purpose. This becomes the means of mukaffiratun lidhunub. It becomes a means of cleansing a person, a means of forgiveness, a means of purification for a person. But this comes provided with one condition. And what is this condition? It is that إِذَا جِتَنَبَ الْكَبَائِرِ. As long as a person remains away, abstains from the great and major sins, from the intent of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intentionally. If that is abstained from, then it is inevitable that a person will commit errors along the way. Every human being has a natural tendency. Every human being is inclined towards errors and wrongdoing and sin. And that gets washed away through the different cleansing processes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for us, which is between the salah, between one Jumu'ah to the next, and from one Ramadan to the next Ramadan. So once again, let us ask ourselves that what has the month of Ramadan truly brought to us? What was the fundamental thing? What was the fundamental takeaway from the month of Ramadan? And it is a very simple formula. It is a very simple understanding. And that is that Allah Ta'ala kept the month of Ramadan for us to revert to the basics of our life. And what is the basic need of our life? What is the basic purpose of our life? And that is nothing else but لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O those who have believed, fasting has been prescribed upon you like how it was prescribed to those before you, so that you may attain this quality of Allah consciousness, so that you may attain the quality of taqwa. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us this month of Ramadan. So that Allah ta'ala wanted to grant us this very important quality and ability and capacity of taqwa, of Allah consciousness, of realizing the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout our day and night. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the early years of his nubuwah and his mission, for the 13 years in Makkah al-Mukarramah, he spent this entire 13 years in what? In developing the capacity of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. It was an entire period of self-development, of becoming truly and fully conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and becoming truly and fully conscious of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the ability to be able to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be able to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the purpose of existence of a mu'min and a believer. It is an individual process of self-development, of self-rectification, rehabilitation, and thereafter when a person develops this ability and capacity, then this now allows a person the ability to be able to serve others, to serve the ummah, humanity. So therefore the first 13 years of Makkah al-Mukarramah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not spend it in jihad. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they had not spent this in jihad. Rather, they were confined, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was confined towards developing the individuals who would ultimately then become the leaders of the collective advancement of Islam in the world. And the seerah is an open book, my dear brothers. We find that when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum developed the true inner sense, the true inner strength, the capacity, the ability to influence, the power, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was brimming and burning within their bosoms. It was a fire, it was a light that would give light to anyone who came to seek that light. Then we found that this fire spread. The flame was passed on very quickly and very easily. Why? Because it was developed and it was embedded, and thereafter it could be shared and it could be promoted and propagated. So therefore, we find that taqwa and Allah consciousness is really the platform. It is the essence. It is the starting point. It is the basic from which we work. We want to try and build the ummah. We want victory for the ummah. We want the unity of the ummah. We want to see the ummah advance, progress and succeed. We have to start right from the foundation. We have to become, we have to have a strong foundation for the building to become strong. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this beautiful and important month of Ramadan al-Mubarak, for us to be able to reflect, to check, to reassess, to evaluate, to navigate within ourselves. What is our intention? What is our niyyah? What is the state of our inner selves? What is our condition? And that would then help us with self-rectification. And when we are able to individually develop ourselves, strengthen ourselves, find ourselves through reflection, through ibadah, through muhasabah, self-accountability, through tawbah, through dhikr, through tilawah, through all of these aspects that the month of Ramadan brought into our lives, then my beloved brothers, it becomes a process. It becomes a process where now a person becomes a person of understanding. He now begins to realize, he begins to be able to see, and thereafter he is able to act. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the barakah of this month of Ramadan to help us to persevere and to continue and to be steadfast upon the gains of Ramadan. Also, we should remember that it is very easy to squander the gains that we have gained during the month of Ramadan, because we know the environment out of Ramadan is not like the environment in Ramadan. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not require us to be at the same level, at the same optimum level of practice, and the same optimum level of ibadah and of mujahadah and of striving as we are required to do in the month of Ramadan. That is not really required. The month of Ramadan rather was a process of training and understanding and realization and finding one's reality. That after the month of Ramadan, the adjustment in the routine, naturally this is going to take place. We come back to a normal sort of routine, but we have to make sure that we keep the fundamentals in place. In Ramadan, we gain the insight and the understanding of the importance of Salah. Every person was concerned about the time of Salah. Every person was concerned about attending Salah in congregation, attending Salah in Jama'ah. Every person made sure that how I can get to the masjid and how I can perform all my 5 Salah in the masjid with Jama'ah. And we found that the neglect of Salah had lessened in the month of Ramadan. And the importance of Salah was gained and elevated, and like that, everything else in the month of Ramadan also had changed. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the month of Ramadan, does not expect us to continue at that same level, because we will not be able to sustain that. It's a reality, my beloved brothers, that we cannot sustain the level that we were on in the month of Ramadan after the month of Ramadan. But what we will be able to attain and sustain is the fundamentals and the takeaway lessons from the month of Ramadan. And that is the importance of staying away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The important lesson that a person learned during fasting, where every second a person was conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where every second a person was conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of not breaking the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If any person in the month of Ramadan was offered to break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while he was fasting, he would, without hesitation, without even thinking, this person will say, no, I am fasting. I will not break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what you offer that person, he will never break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this spirit and this fundamental of Allah's obedience has to be carried through after the month of Ramadan. And like that, my beloved brothers, All the other beautiful lessons and attributes that were learned in the month of Ramadan must be carried through. And what are the factors? What are these attributes? What does taqwa represent? There are many factors that a person who is a muttaqi, who is a Allah-conscious, Allah-fearing person, who has taqwa in him, should uphold. What are the factors that this person has to uphold? And among these factors, one of the fundamental factors that a person upholds is the aspect of respect. That in the month of Ramadan, we understood the importance of respecting the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understood the importance of respecting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understood the importance of respecting everything that is noble and everything that is sacred in the deen. The respect of the kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. The respect of the sha'air, the noble salient features of Islam. All of this insight was gained in the month of Ramadan. And therefore we found that in the month of Ramadan, we were able to uphold this respect. And one of the factors of respect is to respect the honor and the sanctity of our Muslim brothers. This is an important fundamental in the important, or amongst the important aspects of the factor of respect. And this we found in the month of Ramadan, that how much of adab, how much of respect there was for each other. A person would be frustrated with something, or a person would be irritated with someone, or a person would be impatient, or he would become restless and upset about something, but he would say, I am fasting. A person would say, it is a month of Ramadan. I cannot harm anyone. I cannot swear anyone. I cannot degrade anyone. And we found that there was an air of harmony in the month of Ramadan. We were able to get along with each other like brothers, with each other like brothers, like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in the Quran. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. That certainly the believers are brothers. Allah has declared us as a brotherhood, as people who live with harmony, with understanding, with tolerance, with generosity. So all of these avenues and all of these factors of respect were developed in the month of Ramadan. This was the capacity developing process that we had underwent. And this faculty of respect is very, very broad, my dear friends. But alhamdulillah, Ramadan al-Mubarak gave us an insight into al-adab, into respect. And this is very beautifully said, that ad-deenu kulluha adabun. That this deen of ours is premised on the aspect of respect. Everything on our deen, everything in our deen is premised. Everything in our deen is premised and is based on adab and respect. And this is an important fundamental of the aspect of taqwa that was the primary focus of the month of Ramadan. Now the next aspect that can be regarded to be an important part of taqwa, we are defining and we are unpacking what is taqwa, what does taqwa represent. So we said it represents the aspect of respect. And the other important aspect that Ramadan and taqwa represents is the aspect of forgiveness and respect. That a person who has taqwa and has developed the attribute of taqwa learns the attribute of forgiveness. And that is why one of the training formulas of Ramadan is to continuously seek forgiveness. And that when a person is revising the formula of forgiveness, it then gives a person this attribute of forgiveness. Like we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, we are always asking, oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, in the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, in the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to forgive others as well. Allah, that's why Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. And pardon and overlook. Do you not like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you and pardons you as well? اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. Oh Allah, you are I desire your forgiveness. I seek forgiveness from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, become a forgiving person. اغفر يغفر لك. If you forgive, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. So therefore, this month of Ramadan al-Mubarak taught us to let go of those things that hold us back from forgiving others. We are human. We live in a human society. We are not robots. We are not angels. And misunderstandings will definitely take place. Arguments take place. Differences take place. Conflicts must happen. It happened in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. It happened among the best of people. It will happen to us as well. However, we must realize How do we navigate through these difficult situations? How do we navigate through these differences, through these arguments, and how do we emerge from them? One way is to escalate the situation, to make the situation worse, to enhance and to increase, and to make the situation more toxic, and to break down the relationship, and to create more disharmony and unpleasantness and bitterness. And this causes complete fragmentation of the social network, of family relationships, and of the marriage, and of the association and the bond between those who are supposed to be close to each other. And the other way is to take an understanding position, to take to tolerance. Therefore, one of the most profound ayah in verses in the Quran al-Kareem, in terms of human psychology, according to the commentators of Quran, they say, لَيْسَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ آيَةٌ أَجْمَعُ لِمَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. There is no ayah in the Quran which is more encompassing of complete akhlaq than this ayah of the Quran. Which is this ayah? This ayah is the ayah of Surah A'raf. Allah Ta'ala says, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. That take to forgiveness, command good, and turn away from the ignorant ones. This ayah is referred to the ayah that represents the highest level of emotional intelligence. The EQ of a person, the true psychology of a person is embedded in the qualities that are mentioned in this ayah. This is just three phrases, but an ocean of achievement and of good character. Allah Ta'ala says also, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ. Have the capacity and the ability to take to forgiveness, to let go, to love and let love, and we will find peace within ourselves. We will lighten our burdens. One of the qualities of a happy person is what? That he has a light back and he has a light belly. A light back does not mean that you are not carrying a heavy burden of rocks on your back. Rather, what it means, that a person does not carry the burdens of arguments, of disputes, of relationships on his back. And the other is that a person eats moderately, so that this does not lead him to lethargy and laziness and unproductiveness. So therefore, we find this aspect of forgiveness, my beloved brothers, and af is something that is a very broad and a very dynamic and a very deep topic. And it is one of the takeaways of the month of Ramadan, of Ramadan al-Mubarak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, my beloved brothers. It is really a break of the ego. It crushes the pride of a person. The quality and the attribute of shaitan was, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ. I am better than him. Why must I go to him? Why must I take to him? Why must I make salam to him? He is in the wrong. He must come to me. I am more pious than him. I am more learned than him. I am so many things. These are the whispers of the ego to a person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to break that. Allah ta'ala wants us to crush that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to trample that. To trample the nafs and to have humility and tawadu. And that brings us to another factor. And the other takeaway from Ramadan al-Mubarak. And that is the aspect of tawadu and the aspect of humility. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with humility. The antidote to pride, the antidote to all these things that are plaguing our hearts and that are holding us back and keeping us stuck in a trap. And these things are not allowing us to move forward. The ummah is in dire need, my dear friends. The ummah is crying. The ummah needs for us to be able to realize ourselves and to move forward, and for the communities to empower themselves. We are not going to able to be active contributors to the ummah if we are hamstrung with our own personal issues. If we cannot find each other in our individual capacities, in our families, in our communities, in our masajid, in our institutions, in our inner circles, how are we going to find the goal of the unity of the ummah? So therefore, Ramadan has come to instill within us the important aspect that be the humble one. You won't lose anything. You will not lose your respect. You will not lose your honor. In fact, if anything, it comes in Hadith Sharif, my dear friends, that the one who forgives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless him with izzah, honor, and dignity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate this person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says rather, man tawada'a lillahi rafa'ahu Allah, wa man takabbara wada'ahu Allah. Who has humility, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate him automatically. How Allah will elevate him, this person will not even know. And وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ. But if we want to continue with this hatred, we want to continue with our arrogance, with our breakdown, with our bitterness, and we want to stand our ground and our position and our views, then unfortunately, وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the downfall of such a person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq and the ability to make amal and to practice on whatever has been said, and to continue benefiting from this takeaway aspects from whatever we benefited during the month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us continue reaping the reward, the fruits of those aspects, and to continue benefiting from these good deeds. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.